He has a good, a gentle way of coming in and saying, hey, we need to deal with this. We need to deal with that. I heard a story of a man who had a neighbor. He had a big, huge apple tree. And this guy would go over and point out to the neighbor, say, you know, you've got a lot of dead branches up there. You really need to trim those branches out. And the neighbor, he was just kind of like, yeah, it'll be fine. And this guy kept telling, you need to take care of this. You need to take care of this. And the guy never wanted to. And so what happened was his tree, because of all this dead wood, became diseased. And all of the fruit that it had turned, the apples turned all gnarly and scabby and spotted and nothing that you could do anything with anymore. And God is faithful to point out deadness in our life, but our job is to respond. And he'll come and he'll point it out. And he'll come and point it out again. Hey, you need to deal with this. Hey, there's something dead here. Hey, deal with this. But our job is to respond. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. Oh, did I have that? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 says, no discipline at the time seems joyous, but grievous. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised therewith. So God will bring conviction in the areas that he wants to touch. And as you respond and say, okay, Lord, I can work with you, I can work with that, then we get to experience a deliverance. And sometimes we think of pruning as something that really hurts, but you know when God delivers you from something that he's put his finger on, it's like life. It's like, yes. I've had times where God has delivered me from habits and addictions and stuff, and it didn't hurt. It was awesome. It was like, thank you, Jesus, because that's part of his job in pruning, is to deliver us from the things that bind us up. And when we respond to it, it gives him an open door to do that. Number three, pruning through life circumstances. Oh, boy. Well, I had a job at a school once, and I want to tell you, I loved that job. It was a great situation. The principal loved me. The kids loved me. I loved the kids. We got to have really fun concerts, all kinds of great activities. It was just a great place to teach. And one year, Wonder of Wonders, they made me the teacher of the year. Well, whoopee, when they give somebody an honor like that, you gotta know that there's probably 10 or 15 other people that just deserved it as much. But it was nice that they did that for me. But what I always thought was very funny was a couple years later, there was an economic downturn, and guess who got cut? The teacher of the year. You're gone, man. Out the door I went. So I was like, okay, well. And that was such a heartache. The kids I taught were heartbroken. I was heartbroken. The faculty was sad. They were so sweet. They put on a little parade for me. They had the kids march out in the front, and they brought me little banners. And one little naughty boy. Oh, he was such a naughty boy in my class. I was always correcting. He said, "You just sit down. No, it's not right to whop Susie. Sit down, stop." You know, and constantly, he walked up to me in that parade and he goes, "I don't want you to leave." And I just talked to him and I said, "I know, I don't want to either." I went up in my room after and I just sat there in my empty room and cried. And it was so hard to leave that place. And then another job opened up. Teacher retired not too far away, and I went and I met the principal and had an informal interview, and he was kind of gruff and grumpy, and I thought, oh boy, well, that probably won't go anywhere. And then they called me back and I had another interview, and then they had me come and teach, and they picked out the worst, the naughtiest class, and they had me go in and teach the naughtiest class. And I guess it went well, so they called me back and said, yeah, we want you to come. And I took the job. The grumpy principal has turned into my best friend, one of my best friends. He's a Christian, and we support and pray for each other. He's really not grumpy. He just, you know, people, sometimes you meet him and they have a bad day, you know, and you form an idea about him. It's wrong. But I ended up in a room right across the hall from the auditorium that I got to run. They gave me a budget to buy all these new instruments. I got to run the character education program where I got to teach scriptural principles. I didn't call them that, but that's what we were doing, was teaching the principles of scripture to these kids and putting on assemblies. And it was just so much better. But I couldn't get there without the pruning of that other position and the heartbreak of having to let that go. But, you know, I didn't fight it. I said, God, this is you. And there was some faculty that wanted to rise up. Whoa, they shouldn't do this to you. And I had to say, well, God has a plan in this. And it ended up being even better. You know, in Acts chapter 8, a great persecution broke out after Stephen's martyrdom. And Christians, then Saul is going into people's houses. It's like the KGB. He's going into people's houses and dragging them out and throwing them into prison. You know, we think of prison today as this nice, you know, this cell that you get thrown in. Not then. Prison was not like that. And people are being thrown into these horrible prisons. And so they're scattering. They lost everything. And yet in Acts 8:4, it says they went everywhere preaching the word, and the gospel went out like crazy to all these outlying regions, and it was one of the reasons that the early church grew and developed, because these early Christians got pruned out of Jerusalem, and away they went, and it was hard, but God used them and took them into all the world, and everywhere they went, they preached. All right, well, let's talk about why does God prune us? Well, we've already talked about the how, and we've already overlapped into a lot of this, but I'd like to just talk about a few specific things. And please remember that pruning is not punishment. Pruning is development, and everybody goes through it. So please remember that. So, number one, God prunes us to remove what is dead or dying. Or in other words, the things in us that aren't fruitful and stunt our growth. And God will be faithful to point out sin in your life. Sin? Do I have sin? Well, yeah, we all have sin. We've got sin in our lives that wants to capture us. And sin is a parasite. And when you give it place. And it isn't even necessarily have to be a big sin. So the scripture says the little foxes are the things that spoil the vine. The little things that just get in and nibble at the bottoms, and then the vine still looks okay for a while, but it starts to wilt because it's lost its connection. It could be things that God wants to cut out of your life, and they're not even bad. They don't have to be bad things, but they're not helpful. 1 Corinthians 10:23, he says, I have the right, Paul says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I had the Lord cut an unhealthy habit out of me. Some time ago, I was addicted to Fox News. I was addicted to Fox News, and I was looking at Fox News in the morning when I got up. I'd look at it lunch, and I'd take my iPad, and before I went to sleep at night, I'd sit up in my bedroom, and I'd click on the tab, and I'd start reading headlines. Well, you know what? You do that, and about all of a sudden, half hour later, 45 minutes later, an hour later, And what was happening was then I wasn't getting up early enough in the morning to have all of my prayer time and my devotional time. And the Lord started to put that finger on me and say, hey, quit it with the Fox News. And I was like, well, what's wrong with reading the news? There isn't anything wrong with reading the news, but it's wrong if you're doing it at 10 or 11 o'clock at night when you need to get up and pray. And I had to yield to that and say, okay, God, cut it out of me. It's something that's taken the life out of me, and I gave that up, thank God, and now I have more time in the morning, And it's not like the Shekinah glory is pouring down or anything, but it's just so nice in the morning. I have more time to worship, to read the word. It's just, it's wonderful. It's life. It's life. So God may want to remove some unhealthy habits. God might even want to adjust some healthy habits, you know, some things that don't seem bad. God may want to cut out some unhelpful relationships that you might have. And that's a big one. 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. And having healthy relationships or having unhealthy relationships is something that God wants to deal with too. Number two, God prunes us to remove what's infected or diseased. Infected or diseased. And Isaiah 61:1 is what Jesus referred to when he made his introduction in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. And God wants to remove any of that stuff in us that's broken, that needs to be healed, that needs to be bound up. Psalm 147:3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up all their wounds. And an area that's sick can hamper your growth. God wants to bring healing to thought patterns from childhood, from trauma from the past, influences from society and culture, the things that affect our thinking. And God can take and reveal the underlying thing. You know, usually if we have sins that beset us or things that hamper us or habits that aren't good, usually if you dig down far enough, you kind of start to see what's going on underneath, and you find out some of the underlying things that happen there. And you know, you may need to forgive someone that abused you. You might need to find love and acceptance in Jesus instead of trying to find it in this person or in that person or in this relationship or in that one. You may need healing from the lie of the devil that says you're not good enough. And you never will be. Anybody ever hear the devil try to whisper that to you? And so God's desire is to take what needs healing and that's bad and needs to be pruned out of our life and make it whole. But the problem with that, the thing that makes it tough, is that often for God to heal a wound like that, he has to open it up. But when you open it up, and in my heart, I say, ow, don't touch that. God, it hurts. Leave me alone. No. Open it up. Let it go and allow God to minister to that. Glory to God. And then he brings the healing that he can bring. Number three, God prunes us to keep you focused and on the right track. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He will keep you on the right path. Without pruning, a tree's branches just start to grow in every direction. It gets, you know, there's too many of them. It draws too much life from the stump. They get too scattered, too sparse, no focus. And things need to get pruned. And periodically, practically, this can look in your life like just busy. Busy, 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 busy. You know, I talk to people who visit from other countries, and they say, Americans, you're so busy. You're just busy, busy, busy. You're busy all the time. You're always doing, you know, and in our culture, we can even become passionate about doing things for God and forget to do them with him. Oh boy, or you might chase your own goals, work to make your own life or all of the vines that you can plug into. But the key to focus is what Jesus said it was. in John 5:19. And this is the key to pruning out all that other stuff and that excess busyness. Jesus said, the Son only does the things he sees his Father doing. Jesus said, I only do the things I see my Father doing. And that means everything else clipped away. Clipped away. It's all a matter of priority. Who's first? Who gets the attention? Who are we following? Who are we setting our eyes on? Setting our eyes, fixing our eyes upon Jesus. And that keeps us focused and in the right track. And then God is able to prune all of those other distractions and all of that other stuff out of our lives. So we're going to be pruned, ladies and gentlemen. God wants to bring us into focus, but when it happens, it means that he wants to bring us into more focus, greater relationship, and make more room for him. And I would have gone on and talked about abiding in the vine, but then we'd be here till tomorrow afternoon, and nobody would like me for that. But God knows there's lots more that we can get involved in and look at. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God, that you come and you don't save us and leave us, but you come and you inspect the vine, and you come and you prune the things out that need to go, and you prune back the things that are fruitful, and sometimes you take from us. And God, I pray that we would be able to have open hands to our lives and the things that we have, that we would release everything to you that you want to do and to work, Father. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are a faithful God, and we trust you with our care, Lord. And we know that you only speak to us for our good, to build us up, and that your work in us is redemptive, not destructive. Father, we thank you for that today. The Lord keeps speaking to me. There's somebody here, and God has been speaking to you about an unhealthy relationship. I don't know that it's necessarily a romantic one, but I keep hearing the Lord saying, somebody here, God has put his finger on a relationship in your life over and over, and you have kind of resisted God in that and haven't cut it off and haven't let it go. And sometimes it's okay for us to maintain friendly relationships with people, but this is not a healthy relationship. And God has spoken to you that he wants to release you from it, and you've hung on to it. And there's just a sense, I feel an urgency in my spirit. You need to cut that off, and if you don't, it's going to draw your heart away from the Father. I don't know who that is, but if we have prayer time today and you want to come up, I'd be happy to pray for you. Father, we just thank you today that you are a good God, that you know our needs, and you love us the way we are, but you want to cause us to be even more fruitful. And Father, it's our heart's cry. God, we want to be fruitful. We want to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. We want to be abundant, Lord. We want to see lots of souls in the kingdom of God. We want to see lives changed. Father, we want life to come. So, Father, whatever you have to do in us, Father, we want to yield today to your adjusting, your pruning, your convicting, your work, Father. Take us and work with us so that we look more like Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you have a physical need and you'd like prayer, if the Lord spoke to you today in any of this and you would like prayer, we invite you to come forward. Otherwise, you are dismissed. God bless you and have a great week. And thank you. If you'd like prayer, someone will be here to pray with you. God bless you.